Good morning. Welcome to the third Palmetto College Campus's Faculty Senate meeting of the 2015-16 academic year. I would like to start this meeting by introducing the members of the Executive Committee. If they are here, please raise your hand and make yourself otherwise known. We have our past chair, Jolie Fontenot. Is she here today? I think she may be under the weather a little bit, is she not? Okay. We have our vice chair, Tom Bragg. He will be the incoming chair next time around. Our secretary, Professor Melanie Nain. Melanie, up on the front there. And she does an outstanding job, guys. She really does. Our member at large is Chris Bundrick. Chris, over there. Our faculty manual liaison is Andy Yingst. Andy, would you rein it back over there? A good-looking young man. We're going to start the presentation today with the report from the Chancellor, Dr. Susan Elkins. Before we do that, I want to remind you of two things. Jean has asked me to let you know that you need to pick up one of these green cards. If you do not have one of these cards, your car will be held hostage in the parking garage and will be sold at auction at some future point in time. The benefits of it will go to scholarships. So please get one of these cards so you can get out of the parking garage. Also, we have a few of the current rosters of the Faculty Senate. I think Jean brought a couple of examples with you. If you need one, please ask her. Okay, Dr. Susan Elkins, do you have a report?
I do. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, everybody. We have a great trip into Columbia, nice and chilly this morning to welcome everybody. But it's great to have you with us, and we realize all of you have been on the road for a good bit of time and how much time and effort that you spend in your work with the Senate. But it's my pleasure to welcome you here this morning. But as we begin, always we want to thank Ms. Jean Carano for her work. Everybody, please give Jean a big hand. Jean and Dean Nesmith, along with the Faculty Senate Executive Committee and everybody involved in putting on this meeting. We know these details, you know, sometimes we come in and we don't really think about all the gazillion details that go into this meeting, including things like the parking. And so Jean does a fabulous job keeping us all straight, and we really appreciate it, Jean. Now, also, to each of you, I never want to start this meeting without giving you my heartfelt thanks for the work that you do on the Senate. You're the very heart and soul of Palmetto College, and we realize you have heavy teaching loads, you do a lot of scholarly activity, you do a lot of service, and your time and effort on the Senate, I know, is above and beyond everything else that you do, but we always want to let you know how much we appreciate all that you do with the Senate. Now, with that said, my report includes three brief items. First, I think I'd be remiss if I didn't give you a little bit of an update on Palmetto College enrollment. And I'm thrilled to let you know that the total Palmetto College headcount enrollment as of yesterday for spring semester was 4,596 compared to 4,272 on the same day last year. So all the mathematicians in the room have already discovered that that's a significant increase of 324 over this day last year. So it's always great to report that enrollment numbers are going up, and we know if enrollment is going up, our revenue is also going up, and our campuses are in better financial shape. I'll let the deans tell you about their own enrollment on each of the campuses, but I will share with you that in the Palmetto College online programs, as of this time yesterday, we had 735 students enrolled in the 7 online degree majors compared to 705 same day last year. And while I'm talking about online, in case we haven't introduced Dr. Cher Downing, we may have introduced Dr. Downing at the last meeting, but just want to remind you she's in the middle of the back row here as Vice Chancellor of eLearning, doing lots of great work with our Palmetto College online programs. Now, while I share that good news on enrollment, we would never miss a chance to say we are certainly still recruiting, because as all of you know, Spring 2 begins about the 1st of March, and we certainly want to add more students to that number. And I think if we can add just a few more students, this will be a semester where we can say that headcount enrollment was up on every campus and in every category. So that's a pretty good milestone to be able to say that all of the campuses and Palmetto College Online all had an enrollment increase in spring semester of 2016. So keep working as we add students in spring too. Now, secondly, I'm delighted to report on several items that are priorities that were identified this summer when we had the Faculty Senate Executive Committee planning retreat. It was a very successful day where the Senate Executive Committee members came together and we worked on priorities for the year. Now, I sent around a handout, and of course these are not my priorities, these are the Senate Executive Committee's priorities with all the subcommittees. But this one-page document has kind of helped give us a good guiding framework for what we're all trying to accomplish together this year. And while, you know, a lot of the items belong to each of the subcommittees, there were several items that had implications for the Palmetto College Central organization. So the items in Garnet, for those of you who happen to have a piece of paper in your hand, if you're not, maybe you can share. The items in Garnet are progress that we've made, items that we've made progress on up to this point. And there's nothing better than being able to check something off the list and say, hey, we actually got that accomplished. So let me run through these real quickly and then I'll take my seat. Item 1B, one of the items that the executive committee is really concerned about is doing a Senate handbook to make sure that all the senators and everybody involved has a common handbook that everybody can follow. We realize that this is a big undertaking. It's probably not something somebody can just volunteer and take on during the year. So one of the things that Mr. Chair and I and the group decided is that it would be great if Palmetto College could provide a small stipend for summer of 2016 so that somebody could be paid extra to do this work over the summer. It's kind of like when we redid the faculty manual. I mean, that was very tedious, extensive work. So we're working with the executive committee to develop a stipend and to find somebody who's interested in helping to develop a handbook over the summer. If you go down to the middle of the page, item C, work of the welfare committee on improving communication in Palmetto College, but we've worked really closely with Ray as the chair and other people on the welfare committee. We all knew that it was imperative to have a new website for Palmetto College. So we are thrilled that in November, the new Palmetto College website launched, and that was one of the best things I think that can happen to all of us. You know, following the campuses, we'll do the same kind of look and feel that ties us all back to USC Columbia. The other item that we're really pleased with, and a lot of thank yous go to the committee that put together the first Palmetto College newsletter. So, Palmetto College newsletter, some of you are in here that had a big hand in that, so why don't you just raise your hand if you were on the Palmetto College Newsletter Committee, because that was an effort I know of Jean, Melody, Ray, who else? Don't let me miss somebody. Chris Bundrick, you don't have your hand up. Chris worked on it, as well as Jay Darby and several other people from inside Palmetto College. But the newsletter was designed to focus on all the outstanding things that are being done by our faculty, staff, and students across Palmetto College so that we can see all those successes. We'll have a spring edition coming out before the end of this semester too, and hopefully that'll give us a chance to showcase some wonderful things that are going on. Now, as you make your way down toward the bottom of the list, the last three items on the list from unfinished business from last year, we had the Chancellor's Innovations Grants, and as you recall, nobody seemed to really want to be involved in developing that process because everybody wanted to apply. So thank goodness we actually have had some people who will not be applying from outside of the organization work on the innovation grant proposal process. The call for proposals went out in early January. Deadline is March 15th for proposals, and then the awards will be made by April 15th. And we're thrilled to hear the innovative ideas that all of you have that will help us, especially as we focus on enrollment growth. And that doesn't just mean bringing in new students. It's bringing in new students, retaining students, and helping students to graduate. So I'm anxious to see all those creative ideas that come in and that are able to be funded over the next year. Then the last two items, there's been an ongoing conversation about the Common Core requirements for SACs, a continuing discussion. I know Chris Bundrick has helped to lead that discussion along with several people here in Columbia. We've got an update for him today, and we'll continue to hopefully get that finalized before the next meeting. And then we're also just delighted to say that as the conversation has continued about the scheduling of BOL and BLS courses and needs to continue to make sure that everybody has access to teaching those courses, we're delighted that Dr. Steve Lowe, is now with us as director of BOL and BLS, and he's doing a good bit of work on, I know, reaching out to each of the campuses to help make sure that everybody is involved in the process and understands the process. So let's end with a big round of applause for Dr. Lowe and Dr. Nesmith as they work on that. All right, with that said, I'll conclude. This concludes my report, and as always, I'm so grateful for the opportunity to work with you. I see a question. Do we have time for a question?
Castleberry Senator, at the last meeting, there was a motion passed by this body that asked the administration to pursue the idea that all of the Palmetto campuses could provide degrees. Could you report back on what has been done concerning that?
I'll just give a brief report because I know there's much more to come from the chair and from which committee? Cogill's committee. We did put together a team that actually met with the provost and several people involved in that decision from the provost office. I know Dr. Nesmith was involved in that. Dr. Vitties was involved in that, I think. Am I correct? And Dr. David Hunter. I'm not sure if David's here today. But they were involved in that discussion. Dr. Nesmith has prepared a report to Cogill and to Henney. And do you want to discuss that a little later in one of your reports? Okay. So an additional amount of information will come from the committee. Other questions? All right. Thank you so much again for all your work.
Thank you, Dr. Elkins, and I also want to recognize Gene for all the work you do. You do so much work behind the scenes that this would not ever happen without all the things you do, and we all sincerely appreciate that. And I just want to say, now I've been in this institution for a long time, and some of you have, but some of you have not been. We are so fortunate, I believe, to have a working relationship with what we call Columbia. Now, Columbia has always been a black box because we didn't know who Columbia was. In years past, I remember that Columbia meant that the dean would know somebody in Columbia. We now all know a lot of people in Columbia with whom we have a working relationship. And Susan, I thank you for all the things you do and all the people on your team that make these things possible for us. We really appreciate that. Next report from the Dean of the Extended University and Associate Provost, Dr. Chris Nesmith.
Good morning, everybody. A couple of updates and announcements from the Associate Provost side. The Palmetto College Campus's TMP Committee met on January 29th here in Columbia. And I understand letters are on the way to candidates. Gene, if they're not already mailed out, they will be soon. I think the deadline in the manual for that is March the 1st, so well ahead of that. Currently, the TMP files are being read in the Chancellor's office. And from there, they will go to the provost, to the president, to the board of trustees. The Palmetto College campus's online course development grants committee met in January and have made their decisions. And I believe 8 grants were awarded this year. And those grantees have been notified, although I think a letter of acceptance has yet to be sent because we consulted with the CTE instructional designers who had some recommendations for some changes to benchmarks and other stipulations in the grant. Minor changes, but I think there'll be improvements. So those letters will be coming out very soon. Thanks to Sarah Miller, Professor Sarah Miller, who chaired that committee, and also Professor Sherry Grosso, I'm not sure if Sherry's here, and to Professor Aline Mayer Afili, who all served on that grant committee. So thank you guys. In response to Professor Castleberry's question, I did submit two items in response to the System Affairs Committee's request. They've been submitted to the chair, Kadra Boshorn, and I think you'll be talking about those in your report this afternoon. And I'll be happy to answer questions at that time, if there are any. A couple of announcements from the Provost Office. The University Advisors Network Conference is next week, February 19th, here in Columbia. So all advisors, staff advisors, faculty advisors are invited to attend that conference. A Carolina Core Faculty Forum will be held here in Columbia on March 16th, and I understand that there will be video streaming to the campuses for that event as well. A couple quick reminders for the TMP cycle for next year. Campus, and this you'll get some of this in through an email. But campuses should notify eligible candidates by April 1st, and candidates must respond in writing by May 1st of their intent to file. Campus descriptions are due to my office April 15th. And a reminder to all candidates for next year that your list of external reviewers is due to Jean and myself by June the 1st. But I strongly recommend all candidates next year to go ahead and get with your academic dean, your division chair, whoever you work with at that level, to begin compiling that list of external reviewers sooner than the deadline, because people are often gone by June the 1st, as you know, and it's good to go ahead and make those contacts early and get that information to us so we can make the contacts early, then before June the 1st. Another quick announcement. Is Dr. Hunter here, David Hunter? Just wanted to kind of give you guys an update. I know you probably are aware that we have an online vendor for tutoring that has been selected. It's BrainFuse is the company. And David Hunter is has chaired that selection committee and is working with the vendor and with our IT folks to get that up and running. And there will be a pilot program for some second 8-week online courses to use the tutoring services this spring, and then there will be a full rollout for next year. So I wish David was here to tell us a little bit more, but that's all I know right now. Current enrollment numbers for the BLS and the BOL program. We currently have 312 students this spring, 204 in the liberal studies, and 108 in the organizational leadership programs. And we have a total of 53 students who have applied for May graduation, 19 in organizational leadership, and 34 in liberal studies. So once again, a very strong semester for graduates. So thanks to everybody who teaches in those programs and or advises or is otherwise involved with those 2-degree programs. They're doing very well, continue to do well. Extended university news. I'm just going to make one announcement in the interest of time, and that is Dr. Elkins already said. We have a new member of our team, Dr. Steve Lowe, who's taken on a new role within Palmetto College as the director of the Liberal Studies and Organizational Leadership degree programs. And in that role, Steve will oversee the day-to-day academic administration of those programs from the central office, and he'll also help chart the course for improvements and lead the efforts toward that. And so I and the other faculty in Extended University are thrilled to have Steve now as part of our team. So we're very happy about that. We also have a lot of other great things that faculty are doing, and I know this because I signed their travel authorizations to conferences across the country, and I'm aware of many that have published some articles here recently and things like that, but in the interest of time this morning, I'll submit that on my written report. Does anybody have any questions for me? Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Very simple. Concerning the tutoring online, as I understand it, certain grants go a ESP need to be in compliance with providing tutorial services sooner rather than later. Is it possible for them to contact David Hunter to talk about that?
The question, if it didn't pick up on the audio, was if the OSP grants and other services that use tutoring could contact David for early use of the tutoring services. I don't see any reason why not. I see someone who knows more than I do back here. Dr. Downing?
So we're trying to roll the pilot out in the second 8 weeks in a small venue so that we can work all the bugs out so we don't make all of you crazy when the fall term comes and we have large numbers. So I would suggest talking with Dr. Hunter about that because we are looking for volunteers whose courses that we can use. There are two pieces to the online tutoring system. One is a free side that any student that's enrolled in Palmetto College can access. And then there's a paid portion that is live tutoring. And so we're working out, because I know all of you now are thinking, who's paying for that? Is that the student? Is that this? You know, 100 questions come up when you say the word something is paid for. So we're working through all of that transition right now. But we're also working through the security issues with university cybersecurity systems to make sure everything meshes together. So if you're teaching second term this spring and are interested and think you might have a way to coordinate with us and do that, please reach out to Dr. Hunter because we are gathering that information right now. And I wanted to remind everyone there is a training on February 26th and you can stream into that. He did send out an email. If you didn't get that information, please let me know on break.
Thank you for that. Were you able to get all that?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Great, thank you. Any other questions? All right, thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Nesbitt, for your report. Next, we'll hear the reports from the deans of the Palmetto College campuses. We'll start with Dean Walt Collins, UC Lancaster.
Good morning, everyone. I'll have a few items to report this morning, and I will submit a written report, fuller written report, shortly. Enrollment at USC Lancaster in spring 2016 stands at 1429, and that contrasts with last spring. Final freeze enrollment, spring 2015, was 1289. We're happy for that increase. Baseball season started at USCL last weekend with 4 wins against Catawba Valley Community College. It was an exciting start to the weekend, and look forward to some more games this weekend as well. We had a sad moment on campus at the beginning of this semester. We lost our trio director, Ms. Delathia Bailey, and right as we were coming back to begin the semester. And so that certainly leaves a huge hole in the trio program, our very strong trio program at USC Lancaster, and the staff has rallied to continue the programming and serving the students as Ms. Bailey had trained them to do very well. One happy note in all of the sadness was that Ms. Bailey had been nominated for the Martin Luther King Social Justice Award for professional staff by Dr. Cox and Professor Biggs on our campus just before the holiday break. And we were notified about a week before she passed away that she won the award. And so Adam Biggs, who's here today, was able to receive that award on behalf of the family posthumously for Ms. Bailey. So we're very proud of that. She long-standing record of social good and work in our community. Congratulations to Professor of Psychology, Dr. Kate Holland, whose mentor students received Magellan Voyager grants, and they gave presentations last weekend in Boston at the International Neuropsychology Society's 44th annual meeting, and she took 2 students with her to that conference. Some facilities updates about regarding our campus. We had a renovation of science lab exhaust hoods in the Bradley building in the science labs that took place. The work took place over the recent holiday. elevator repairs in Medford Library, and isolated roof patches across the campus, two different buildings, in the Bradley Building and the Gregory Building. And we're looking to do some renovations in Star Hall that will make some good space for our admissions office and Office of Academic and Student Affairs this spring into summer, hopefully moving in August, just before the new semester begins. We had a nice contingency of students at Carolina Day at the State House on February 3rd, and 14 students and 4 faculty and staff members, and we were able to have some good conversations with our local legislative delegates that day. We're happy to announce our commencement speaker. Our commencement is set for April 30th at 2:30 p.m., and Nathaniel Nate Barber, who is a USCL alum and went on to the Columbia campus to major in chemistry, works here in Columbia for South State Bank as the Vice President for Community Development, will be our speaker, and he's excited. He grew up in Rock Hill and played basketball for our basketball team in the 70s, so it would be great to have him back and talk to our students and their families. The Educational Foundation of USC Lancaster is planning a spring benefit. Laps for Lancers will take place March 19th. It is a 5K, a 10K, and a 1 mile fun run on campus that Saturday morning. Also includes pancake breakfast. We invite you to join us if you can. It's a lot of fun, a lot of good activities for families with young children as well. Happy to announce the receiving of 2 grants. Our BSN nursing faculty received a $20,000 grant from the Lutz Foundation recently to add equipment to our nursing simulation lab, and the Native American Studies Center received a $1,000 grant for audiovisual upgrades at the Native American Studies Center from Comporium Communications, and Comporium Communications also donated 6 Samsung Galaxy Tab 4 devices, which are mini tablets, and so center is already putting some of those to use. The last 2 things deal with the Native American Studies Center as well. Each month we hold a lunch and learn at the Native American Studies Center, and next Friday, Dr. Ernest Jenkins will present a history of African American churches in Lancaster County. He's here today, so if you can come up noon next Friday, he'll give a great talk about that. And then finally, Native American Studies Week begins March 19th on our campus at the Native American Studies Center. There will be an arts and crafts sale on the 19th. That's a Saturday. And then throughout the week, there are various activities, lectures, films going on. 2 noted lectures are by Glenn Roberts, who is from Anson Mills in Columbia, and Raina Green from the Smithsonian. She'll be doing a lecture as well. There's more information about the Native American Studies Week online. I'll conclude there and ask if there are any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Dean Collins, for your comments. Next, we'll have a report from Dean Ann Carmichael, USC Sakahatchee. Ann?
Good morning. Last weekend, a dozen individuals representing companies all over the nation met on the campus as part of this Promise Zones effort. There were investors, foundation directors, and others who were interested in helping us maximize this designation that the Allendale and the surrounding counties have for the next 10 years. And we also have a trip planned to Washington on February 24th to further develop the opportunities that this designation is going to provide us. Spring enrollment, right now it looks like we're up about 3%. Of course, I don't have all the 8-week courses in there. I'll give you a firm number at the next meeting, but Palmetto College numbers for us were up significantly, so I'll give specifics at the next meeting. On the sports front, our basketball program and softball and baseball are underway. Last week, we had Colleton Medical Center sponsor one of our games, as did the Gamecock Club, and we had a full house. We had over 300 people attend the game, and it was one of those really cold nights that you don't think anybody's going to come out, so we're really excited about that, and just that the camaraderie and the community that's being built through these outreach programs, such as our sports. And the kids in the sports program are really involved in the community, too. So it's a mutually beneficial relationship. Commencement exercises for Saukatchee will be on the 29th of April, and we're thrilled that Vernita Doerr is going to be our commencement speaker. You may know that name from USDA, but Ms. Doerr is now the Deputy Undersecretary for USDA out of D.C., and so she obviously is a very influential person in her position and can help us with this Promise Zone effort, so we're thrilled she's going to join us for commencement. We're excited to add volleyball to our slate of sports. I mentioned this before, but we will start playing in the fall. And Amanda Jones is our new coach. She will start in March. Amanda was an All-American at Armstrong State University and was teaching math at a high school up in North Carolina. So she's going to join us in March. And lastly, I'm pleased to announce that we have received a grant to help us develop a performing arts series for our Carolina Theater. It's we received $30,000 from Savannah River Nuclear Solutions, and so we're really excited about that. And forgive me, I left out something really important. I'm trying to do this on my screen this time, and I flip too quickly. I want to congratulate Tom Bragg on the publication of his book. I think it is coming out in April, I believe. And also April Cohn, who is our nursing program coordinator, and she's been selected to receive an Amy Cockcroft Leadership Fellow Award, and she's also starting her doctoral program. So we're proud of both Tom and April. And if there are no questions, that concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you, Dean Carmichael, for your report. Next, we'll hear from Dean Michael Sontag, Dean of UC Sumter.
Good morning, everybody. I typically send out an email to campus and ask them to let me know things that have happened, and I was just inundated by things this go-round. Our faculty and staff and the campus has been so busy. I've actually written 3 pages, and I'm going to read all of them to you. So, and I showed Walt, and he said, yeah, and it's small font, too. So anyway, I've got a lot here. I'm inevitably going to leave something out. Please, no one be offended if I don't mention your name. But it'll be in my written, or is in my written report. Our tennis, softball, and baseball have all kicked off. Tennis kicks off today. Softball didn't have the best starter. Baseball is currently 3-1, and off to a great start. All of the athletic teams are in full swing, raising funds for travel and those sorts of things, and doing a tremendous amount of community work. One thing in particular, for example, the baseball team recently raised $7,200 for the Salvation Army, and Tim Medlin, our coach, is particularly proud of the fact that for the second consecutive year, the Fire Ants have earned the title as the number one fundraiser for the Salvation Army in Sumter, topping Mayor McElveen, who's had that position for like 9 years. The city had been winning it, so Medlin, being competitive, really likes it. We've toppled the mayor. I don't know what that means for us in the end if the mayor gets upset, but anyway, that's fun. That's a lot of life on campus. We started a new biology club. Mark Roberts is a relatively new faculty member there. They've taken trips down to Melbourne Beach and very, very active. They submitted a report to me that was very, very full, so the students are having a good time in that new science-oriented club. We had a great blood drive, one of the second biggest that we've ever had. And then in November 20th, we had our annual scholarship banquet, and we're particularly proud of this fact. We celebrated giving over $80,000 in scholarships, and we awarded 16 new endowed scholarships for the year. We give an award to folks that endow a scholarship. We gave 16 awards to donors, and that's up from about 2 each year. So 8 times in 1 year, that's pretty neat. That's due to the work of our development team and other folks on campus. In terms of faculty and staff accomplishments, again, I may not read all of this, but I do want to honor and recognize the faculty who have done some interesting work and publications. Dr. Wei-Ying Chang, who is our new physicist, I don't know how much longer we can call her new, but she's going gangbusters. This may be the only one I read the title of because I just love it, because I have no idea what it means. Presentation titled, A Modified Exponential Potential for Quintessence. Sounds impressive. At a conference in Lisbon, where they celebrated the centennial of Albert Einstein's general theory of relativity. Jean-Luc Grosso, Sherry Grosso, and Terry Smith had two publications, one in an International Journal of Business Research and Information Technology, and another one in an International Journal of Business Marketing and Decision Sciences. Sherry Grosso was also recently selected as a recipient of the Oxford Journal Global Top 50 Educators Award. That award recognizes outstanding educators dedicated to the success of their students both inside and outside the classroom. Dr. Sal Macias was elected to the American Psychological Association's Committee on Associate and Baccalaureate Education for 2016. APA, as some of you may know, is sort of the top professional organization in psychology, and I think we're well served to have him serving on a committee devoted to associate's degree granting. Ray McManus has been very productive. He has new poems forthcoming in The Prairie Schooner, The Dead Mule School of Southern Literature, and The Good Men Project. He has currently poetry appearing in an anthology, Hard Times, Rough South Poetry. Ray has also assumed the director of our Center for Oral Narrative, and recently we hosted the Midlands Regional Poetry Out Loud Competition in January. Ray coordinated the competition and emceed the event, and Drs. Park Bucher and Hayes Hampton served as judges, so thank all of you for that. Finally, and Ray would probably kill me if I didn't mention this right, there are two opportunities to hear Ray read coming up. The Deckel Edge Literary Festival will be held February 19th through the 21st, where he'll be reading with George Singleton, David Joy, and Mark Powell. And there will be a Found a New reading at the Thomas Cooper Library in the Hollings Readings Room. Readers will include Nikki Finney, George Singleton, Marjorie Wentworth, Julia Liz Elliott, Sam Amenden, don't know that one, and Ray. Let's see. Next, Henny Van Bolk had two publications and two conference presentations since we last met. One, Strategic Business Planning for Small Primary Care Practices in the Affordable Care Era, a Medical Practice Management, Winning Strategies Post-2015, and Meaningful Use, an Examination of 2015 CMS Proposed and Final Rules. I don't know what those are, but last, Attitudes Toward Electronic Message Boards, a Consumer Perspective. So our faculty have been incredibly busy, very productive, and we're very proud of them. Staff searches, we have a search underway. No, I'm sorry, that we've concluded for financial aid. I mentioned that last time. We've hired Lisa Jeffords in that position, so we're now fully staffed in financial aid. We have currently searches underway for student disabilities services and student activities, and we're looking for a new PC Palmetto College coordinator. And we have a tenure track search underway in history. Interviewed our first candidate yesterday. A lot of things going on in campus beautification. We had a major cleaning effort over the holidays. Our floors and carpets look better. Our glass looks better. The campus in general, we hope, is looking better. In terms of enrollment, we are at about 763 headcount, which is a little bit ahead of last year, but still not at final freeze numbers. So we've got a ways to go, but we are working very diligently to get those numbers where they need to be by census date. And the budget's balanced. That's all I have. Anything else? Any questions? Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Dean Sontag. Next, we'll hear from the Acting Dean, John Catalano, USC Union.
That's
he act like a dean, is that what that means?
It's a good bit of deja vu on this. It's been 3 years since I reported to you as a dean. I got a call in October asking me about filling in and, at USC Union. I've been there since November 18th and enjoyed every minute of it. Faculty there is great. Much better than the Lancaster faculty, especially that philosopher that you lost. I don't know. That guy was Pitts. Anyway, it's going very well. I will tell you that after 2 weeks, I was already sick of hearing the smallest Palmetto College campus, that phrase. Sumter, I'm just telling you now, we're going to renew some of our old competition, and we're only right now 30 students behind you. We have 742 students in the spring semester. That represents about a 16% increase, and FTEs up by 18%, so things are looking good. Two new programs in the county, in two of our counties, that are going to make a big difference. Tuesday night, Union County Council voted that any student with a life scholarship will now come to USC Union at no cost. That is, they get a life scholarship, they apply for FAFSA, and the county will make up any difference all the way to full tuition and fees for any of those students, and that includes the private school students who went to the adult ed and also homeschooled kids who are from an approved program. So that's going to take place in Union and Lawrence County, so we're looking for a big things out of that. We haven't even announced those yet. We already have a 50% increase in applications for the fall. We are adding baseball and softball club sports. We're hiring a disabilities coordinator and a vocational mental health advisor that are going to help with some of the retention programs on campus, we think. So there are going to be quite a few changes. We have a new Palmetto College coordinator, Michael Sumner, who's making a lot of noise on campus and doing very well. Our student default issue, which was one of the things Dr. Elkins forgot to tell me when she mentioned this great opportunity, is now cleared up, and looks like we're going to be in good shape there. Dr. Randy Lowell is the new academic dean on campus, and Randy found out very soon what Ron Cox knew early on, is that my greatest skill as a dean is delegation. And Randy is really, he's doing great. And thank God for Steve Lowe and Ron, who have been there for us when we needed help and some guidance on those things. So that's going well. We're doing an English tenure track search right now. We've budgeted for another tenure track search, but we really want to see some numbers for the fall before we carry that out. Dr. Alan Charles, many of you old-timers like me and Robert know, he was on the Senate. Gosh, when I came here 35 years ago, he was on the Senate, but he'll come back this fall as a full-time history instructor on our campus. We didn't offer any European history, and Alan's approved to teach all those courses. And I found out when I got to Union, every single person in that county knows who Alan Charles is. And I heard him on the radio the first week, and thank goodness he's coming back. Made several changes in the staff, including we're going from 3 IT people to 2 IT people in hopes of rearranging some things so that we can bring some more faculty members on campus. We only have 10 full-time faculty members, and that's going to increase, I think, very quickly. The roof on the main building is now nearly leak-free. We got a lot of facilities things going on campus. We followed Michael's lead and had Jim Demarest and his crew come with Emily Jones, and we're doing some landscaping and facilities improvements that we hope you will see a big difference when you come to campus next time. The budget's in very good shape. Despite the fall semester decrease, I think the spring semester increase helped that a good bit, and things are going well. Any questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dean Catalano. Now it's time for the reports from the standing committees. Our projector just went out. I'm not sure what happened. Maybe we need to fiddle something.
Yeah.
The rights and responsibilities are going to meet in room 368. Welfare in room 367. Systems Affairs in room 366, the Executive Committee room 365, the Deans are going to meet in room 363, and the luncheon will be on the rooftop pavilion, which is 511. And as I understand from last time, we had the two different elevators. Make sure you take the right one. Is that correct? Whichever one that is.
Right. When you come out of the breakout sessions, you'll go to the right, and the elevator right there. If you take it up, that'll take you to the rooftop. So to get to the breakout sessions, if you go all the way down this hall to the end, take a left, go all the way down that hall, and then take a left, and you'll see the breakout sessions. It's on the opposite side of this building. So it's a little walk, but just to and the rooms are marked, so you shouldn't have a problem.
And the luncheon starts at 12.